my book is Resilience. It's not about bouncing back. So I actually don't think of resilience as bouncing back. I think of resilience as moving forward and emerging from a crisis stronger and more energized and elevated than you were when you went in. So it's actually the ability to use the disruption to figure out how to become stronger and be better having gone through it.
But wait, there is more. Yes, there is more, because you're going to hear me today as I drill down in asking these tough questions as far as when, where, how. All of this is going to be unpacked today as you listen to your delightful host, the great interviewer himself, the one who is able to drill deep and ask the right questions. Because not everybody can do this. Only your trained and extremely talented and delightful podcast host like myself can do. And that's why you're going to stay tuned, because you're going to get what it is you come from. Yes, my friend. Yes, my friend.
My friend, my friend, my friend. We day a street, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, so we are going to dig into that, and you're going to hear more of that. So stay tuned. Make sure that you're strapped in as we get ready for blast off. So here we go.
Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, sitting behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. And it is from the show that's been voted number 3 on the top 15 podcasts on emotional intelligence by FeedSpot. And so I am excited that you are listening to one of the top shows right now. And I'm in the command center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I'm going to dig into the vault and get today's show so that what you've come for, you will have. So let me reach in right here and get today's show. There it is. I got it. And put it down right here. And now we can dive into today's show. And on today's show, we are going to be talking about a very interesting topic. And that is to do with resilience. But the way we are going to do this might not be what you would have expected. Why? Because when you hear the word resilience, what comes to your mind? If your mind is like mine, which I think we kind of have some similar ways of thinking, and that's why you're here, I think that I hear of a resilient person or an organization. I'm thinking of that organization or person that is able to bounce back. Right? Isn't that what you're thinking as well? How they were able to get back and start it over and do all the things that they needed to do to bring them back to where they once were. It's always from a low place, something of a disastrous, a crisis. But today our guest is going to really give us a kind of a different education on this, because the way she looks at resilience may not be the way that you looked at it. Because I found that to be true when I interviewed her, having first dibs. Yes, I was able to get the first dibs and education on this, and truly, it was incredible. It's really incredible. So you're going to hear her, and let me not steal her thunder. So before I even turn her loose, yes, for you to hear what I've heard, let me just say thank you for being here. If this is your first time, thank you so much. But this is not your first nor your last, is it? I didn't think so either. Because I know that you are going to taste of the show and you're going to want more. It's addictive. Yes, it is an addictive show. This is one addiction that it's okay to have. This is one I'll prescribe any day. Get high on this show. Go low on this show. Whatever you want to do. This addiction is a good one. If this is your second, third, fourth, fifth time, thank you so much for being here. And again, I appreciate you because you have been holding things together, making this show a very successful show because of you being here and just showing up, sharing the love, and letting me know how much you appreciate that. So thank you for all the feedback I've received through the Apple Podcast platform where you've given me rating and reviews right there. Thank you. Anywhere else you can do that, please make sure you do that. Now, one last thing, my friend, and that is this show is being brought to you by Kingspire Communication. And Kingspire Communication is the leadership. It's the, you know, cutting edge leadership and training company that helps leaders become better at decision making, relationship management, and work performance. That is what Kingspire Communication does. And so if you're interested in finding out more, head over. Actually, don't head over. Run. Sprint over like Usain Bolt. Yes, from Jamaica. Lightning. Just sprint over there. KingsleyGrant.com. KingsleyGrant.com is where you go, my friend, and find out how to connect with us and see if we can be of service to you. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome our guest today. So would you put your hands together and help me welcome our guest to the show, Miss Jennifer Egger. Thank you for joining me on the Kings of Grant show, where emotional intelligence and leadership skills intersect. This show is designed for leaders who want to know what works and what doesn't work in today's workplace. Today, we have a special guest on the show. Her name is Jennifer Eggers. Jennifer, let me tell you a few things about Jennifer, and we'll fill in the rest as we go. Jennifer is a managing partner at Leadership Insights, Inc., a firm known for helping leaders dealing with disruptive change who want to increase their organization's capacity to adapt so they can emerge stronger and more effective faster. She's also a consultant, a coach, best-selling author, and speaker. Jennifer has passion for creating alignment and resilience so your team can do more with what you already have. She is a masterful facilitator known for creating shared agendas and unraveling tough issues that hinder results. With over 20 years of coaching experience, she has coached entire leadership teams as well as officers and directors of many Fortune 500 companies. Her book, Resilience is Not About Bouncing Back, is an international bestseller. And we have her on the show today. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I am great. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to join you.
I am too. I'm looking forward to this and for many, many reasons. It's been a while, so I'm really excited that you have taken time out of your pandemic crisis, COVID time to be with us today on this show. So it's really a great to have you. So Jennifer, the question I open up to make sure everybody understand you are a real person. Where in the world is Jennifer today?
I am outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in a town called Smyrna, in my office.
Ah, awesome. So, Jennifer, in Atlanta, what's a must-see, must-do, or a must-taste for someone who visits Atlanta at any point?
Oh, my goodness. You can't come here without going to the World of Coke. So the World of Coke is the Coke Museum, and there's also a place where you can taste Coke products from all over the world. So it's a really impressive place, and certainly Atlanta's home to Coke, so that's a big deal here.
Awesome. And we want to make sure the audience you're listening, this is Coke from Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, yes. Absolutely. We'll speak about that.
So is there any kind of delicious, tasteful thing that about Atlanta that you would say, you've got to taste this kind of flavored food or so in Atlanta?
Wow. I mean, we have great fried chicken in Atlanta.
Yes.
So there are some really, really good places here to get some good fried chicken and some good Southern cooking.
Yeah, you know, that Southern cooking is really something that's very, I've been through Atlanta, and there's something about that really you have to, it's so authentic to the place, right? And I think that's really a part of what we're talking about today is really how can even leaders be authentic in their leadership? What would that look like, especially in a time as we're transitioning through this whole pandemic we're experiencing? But any kind of crisis per se is what authenticity looks like at some point. Well, we can know it looks like in chicken, but how does that look in the workplace? So the other question I ask, Jennifer, is when you hear the word leader or leadership, what comes to your mind?
Yeah, I think especially right now, when I think about leadership, I think the number one characteristics of leaders today has to be resilience. Mm-hmm. And for years, I've been saying that, you know, this is something that's been critical, but very few people are talking about it. I think we're hearing more about it now, but I think resilience is definitely the number one characteristic that leaders just have to have in this environment, but even to go forward and emerge stronger after it.
And why is that so? But before I ask the why question, in your framing of resilience, right, does that look like? Because people have different ideas of what that may look like. So from your perspective, what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question, because the title of my book is Resilience, It's Not About Bouncing Back. So I actually don't think of resilience as bouncing back. I think of resilience as moving forward and emerging from a crisis stronger and more energized and elevated than you were when you went in. So it's actually the ability to use the disruption to figure out how to become stronger and be better having gone through it. So the reason we say it's not about bouncing back is because the pace of change is so great that by the time a crisis happens and you figure out how to deal with it, there is no back to bounce to, because everything by then is different. So even if we think a bit about the pandemic, we can't go back. I mean, we have to move forward into a world where, you know, COVID is going to exist. There are going to be things that, are dangerous, and we need to figure out how to be safe and how we're going to operate in that world. So I don't think there is an opportunity to really just bounce back. I think we have to look forward, and we have to figure out how we take steps to be better for having gone through what we just went through.
So a leader who is possibly thinking as they're listening to you and in their mind, it's like resilience. When I heard that, my first thing is, okay, you're kind of looking, you're contrasting where you were and how do you kind of get back to this place you were and pick up and go keep on going. But what I'm hearing from you, it may not be necessarily that kind of mentality. If you're going to succeed or make it through this, that may not be what I'm hearing you're saying, is it?
No, you're exactly right. So I think the mentality is very different. If we're constantly looking to try to get back to what was before, we're missing an opportunity to figure out how to move forward into what's next. And I think that moving forward into what's next involves a completely different mentality So there are a couple characteristics of resilient people and organizations. And the first of them, there's three actually. The first of them is to have a firm grasp on reality. So a firm grasp on reality, what that means is we really figure out what's going to stay the same and what's not. So we really have to take a hard look at what are the things that are going to be different and figure out how we're going to adapt to that. It's not about just going back to what was. I mean, even take COVID out of the picture for a moment.
Yeah.
But even something like, digital music coming into the world, or Airbnb disrupting the hotel industry, those things, you can't go back. I mean, you have this major disruptor that hits a market. You don't get to go back and say, well, you know, we're a small mom and pop shop and we're going to go back to a time when Walmart didn't exist. You can't, right? So you have to figure out what's new and what's different and what do you have to do differently to adapt. And so resilience is all about improving the organization and the individual's capacity to adapt so that the next time something happens, we can adapt faster and move forward faster and more effectively.
Mm, Okay. Yeah, I like that framework you have described, because I think it's, to me, it kind of falls within the line of what we've experienced. You mentioned either the disruption for Uber or any other of those disruptive companies that have come in and changed the dynamics. And we had to realize, okay, do we kind of fight that, or do we realize this is a wave? This is a way that things are moving forward, and adjust accordingly and adapt. Because I believe that as an emotional intelligence person who teaches that, one of the competencies that really is so high is adaptability, you know, and flexibility. So I'm hearing that that person needs to be able to embrace basically what's happening and find a way to navigate them, their company, their organization, as how it fits what they do. Right. But still not try to, in a sense, be resisting and pushing against that. So the first thing you mentioned, Jennifer, was a firm grasp on reality. You said there were three. Do you want to mention those other two? Are you in passing or just?
Yeah, no, sure. I'm happy to. So the second one is the ability to find meaning in a situation. So how good are we at looking at the situation we're in and figuring out what we're learning from it? So, for example, I mean, right in the middle of the pandemic, you know, we've all kind of several months ago upended our businesses and, you know, everybody ended up working from home or doing things very differently. I think if we don't go back and say, what did we learn from that? What went well? What didn't go well? And what does that mean for us as a company, as an individual, even personally, and as a culture moving forward? We lose the moment, and we're going to lose the opportunity to really capture those lessons and find meaning in it. The meaning also helps us to figure out how to move forward, and it helps us to kind of justify in our mind and reduce some of the stress and anxiety. If we can capture the learnings, it's not for naught, right? We can capture that meaning. So the ability to find meaning in a situation is one of the key characteristics. Very difficult when you're in the thick of it, but that's what resilient people and organizations are doing. And so that's something we really want to encourage people to do. And the third is the ability to be able to use available resources and improvise. And I think we saw that, you know, certainly we see that in a lot of examples, but a great one is I had a CEO that I was working with not long ago. And, you know, about a month before COVID, he had put out a decree that no one can work from home. We're not going to be productive. You know, as an organization, we know that we can't work from home and there'll be no virtual anything. And the data that they had was that in 2019, the company did 2,500 Zoom calls in the whole year for the whole company. And this is a Fortune 200 company, so big company. Yeah. 2,500 Zoom calls. In the month of March, they did 25,000 Zoom calls. So if you think about the exponential, so I met with him about a month into COVID, and he said to me, I'm eating my words.
Of course.
You know, he said, we're going to have to adapt. We know this is going to be the way of the future. And you know what? We're productive.
Yeah.
So he was shocked, but his people figured it out. So this ability to improvise and kind of roll with what you've got and use the available resources is a huge component of resilient people and organizations.
You know,
go ahead.
No, I think you're onto something there, because I find, Jennifer, that to survive in as a company, as an organization, if you don't, you're going to be eaten up and left behind. So your choice is either stay where you are and do as you've always done and then get run over or left behind, yep. Or, as I'm hearing, become very agile and as you describe, the ability to use the resources and improvise. Because that is really what I find this reflects a company that had their finger on the pulse of what's happening, not just around them environmentally, but also with their own people. How do they get their people then? So it's my biggest question then. How do they get their people to buy in and to join in that kind of what you described as the way resilience should look? How does a leader get them to move in that direction?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because we can talk about what something looks like, but how to build it is a different story. So what we present in the book is a framework, and it's basically a three-part framework so here's the cool part, is that the characteristics of resilient individuals and organizations are the same. So what that means is that we can teach individuals to be resilient in the same way we can teach organizations to be resilient. So that was a huge aha for me, and it was one of the real reasons I wrote the book. So if we think about the framework, so here's what the framework looks like, and I can get you a diagram to put in your show notes. But The idea is that the underlying part of the framework, the bedrock that everything sits on, is a set of core beliefs. So for an individual, that may be your faith, that may be what you believe about the world and how the flowers grow and all of that. In an organization, that may be your mission. It may be your why. You know, the Simon Sinek, find your why. It may be your purpose. It may be your value statement. But there's got to be a set of core beliefs, because when something gets tough, it's really difficult to stand up when you don't know what you're standing on. So that's the first component of resilience. But then sitting on top of that, so we have sort of two cubes sitting on a triangle in the diagram. Uh-huh. But so there are two, and the two have some components. So one is mindset. Mm-hmm. So, and you'll notice there's a tight link here to emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. So when we started teaching resilience, a lot of the emotional intelligence concepts rolled up into resilience. Yes. Because they're the same. So your mindset is a function of your authenticity and your attitude. And that's kind of one side of mm-hmm. the point. The other side is the choices that you make. And choices are a function of your purpose and how you define success. So those, I mean, I gave you probably seven things, but there are a couple subsets there.
Right.
But if you think about this framework as a checklist, these are the things that both leaders and organizations need to make sure they've got nailed in order to build resilience. So is your mindset the right mindset for the situation? Are you being authentic, whether it's individually or organizationally? Are you being true to who you are or who you said you are? What is the attitude that you're looking at? So we talk a lot about, I mean, there's chapters behind all this, right? And
right.
It goes into the whole thing, but you know, it's all about your filters.
Yeah.
Using your filters and really, really looking at every situation as a chance to be who you really are. So when we think about choices, is that attitude and your ability to be authentic, how that has to start with your purpose, mm-hmm. how you define success. So we need to get really intentional about figuring out, and this is where we link back to emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be authentic if you don't know who you are.
Yes.
So you've got to do the work to figure that out. The yeah. attitude is, you know, how do you step out onto the balcony and kind of look at the situation and figure out what's called for? And then choices is, again, a lot of work around what is your core definition of success?
Yeah.
How do you know when you're being successful? And then what is your purpose in a situation? Mm-hmm. And your purpose doesn't necessarily – should I pause so you can edit?
Yes. That's okay. That's okay.
I turned this phone off 3 times in the last 2 days. I'm going to throw it out the window. but anyway, okay.
Yeah.
So where do you want me to start? Purpose?
Purpose and success. Define.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your definition of success is really – it requires some work to figure out who you're being in that moment when you know you're successful. And so that's kind of a longer-term view.
Mm-hmm.
Your purpose is often just specific to a situation. So, for example, when we went out, you know, I have clients that, you know, all of a sudden no one's working in the office. Everyone's out for the pandemic. There's a very different – feel to a team meeting. If the purpose is we got to meet our numbers, we got to get our sales, we got to drive productivity. If that's your purpose, you're going to have one kind of meeting.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in and you say, my purpose is that this team bonds together and I build the relationship with this team, we may have to deliver sales, but the way you run that meeting is going to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
So the point of this whole exercise is to really be intentional about what's called for in the moment and what that definition of success is. So mindset, choices, and core beliefs
mm-hmm.
are kind of the three areas that I think people and organizations both can look at and figure out where their weak link is or where they can be more intentional about growing and thinking it through. The difference between individual resilience and building organizational resilience is in an organization we have more people.
Mm-hmm.
So this notion of alignment and pulling people together and really having these conversations with each other becomes more and more critical.
Yeah, you know, I think that I appreciate you taking the time to kind of define for us and helping us understand better what those things are, because I agree 100% that the core beliefs, that anchor, is that place you go back to and holds you secure and firm. Even when disruptions is taking place, you go back to, as you mentioned, Simon Sinek's, your why, your purpose, your core values, your core beliefs, because that's what drives, is the engine that drives everything And, you know, if you move too far away from that, you know, hey, I'm getting off. Yeah, I mean, I'm drifting. Let me come back to where I need to get back to. What I wonder, though, Jennifer, as you describe, you kind of hinted slightly at that, what the purpose of a meeting, for example, might be. And if the people is not on board because the leader may be, you know, metrics driven and about task and all those different things, and they're running ahead, but the people are not there close by. How does a leader who's focusing so much on resilience do not lose the fact that they've got to have people on board with them, having that resilient mindset, buying into core beliefs? Because if that's not there, they're going to really have a hard time driving this boat, this ship, so to speak.
That's an excellent, I mean, I think that's an excellent point. It is really hard to drive the boat when the people aren't in the boat with you. Yes. Right? It's very difficult. So I think the key there is the notion of alignment. So I always, you know, we talk about getting buy-in and consulting, you know, all day long. We got to get buy-in, got to get buy-in. Mm-hmm. I would claim that if you're trying to get buy-in, that to me implies that you're selling something.
Ah.
And you're never going to get people aligned if what you're trying to get is buy-in. We create alignment. So subtle difference. But the notion of creating alignment is about creating a shared agenda. So you may have, you know, and I, my favorite example of this is, you know, you join a company and they've got this set of values and it's on every conference room wall. And then, you know, in the middle of the meeting, people are making decisions that have nothing to do with what's written on the wall. and they end up doing... The values don't pass the snicker test. Right? People snicker at the values because they don't live them. So that happens when a leader puts out his values or her values without creating shared values with the organization.
Yeah.
So this notion of creating a shared agenda is all about how do we build it together. So what we actually encourage, and we'll put companies through a workshop to do this, but we actually would encourage the leader to have a conversation with the team, and we facilitate an awful lot of these, where we figure out what does the mindset need to be?
Mm-hmm.
What is the mindset today? So really taking a hard look at where we are, what are the values that we espouse, whether they're the right ones or not, there's a set that exists. So how do we figure out what those are, and then can we rally around a set that we can that we want? And the ones that we agree we're gonna make all our decisions, you know, based on that. So things like your definition of success, that's another one that I would claim, you know, you have to engage the team in these conversations. Yeah. These are not formal artifacts that hang on the wall. These are authentic, you know, gut-wrenching conversations that are edgy and in your face and really require people to get real.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless we get below that facade and that you know, shell, that outer shell that we have, unless we get behind that and really understand where people's heads are, it's almost impossible to build resilience.
You know, I love the way that you even began this segment, Jennifer, because you shifted away from what is out there, the common belief we need to get people to have the buy-in. I like the fact that you said we need to create alignment. And, you know, I'm very much an advocate for that. One of the things I wrote about leadership is partnership. And I talk about the fact that leaders need to find a way to partner and build relationship and collaborate, because that team needs to be a part of what it is as being planned, the agenda, for example. Because when I find that shared agenda, you get people more engaged, more motivated, because they feel as if they're part of that. It's not like you went out there and create that and now say, now let's do that, right? So I find that team effort and approach from the very beginning all the way through makes a difference. And that's why I picked up when you were talking about the idea of creating alignment. So it's really intentional that they have to make that a part of their job duty or their leadership responsibility. Would that be true?
Absolutely. And you talk about it quite a bit as getting rid of the toxicity in the workplace. And I think one of the key components of toxicity often is that, and I'd be curious as to whether you agree, but I'm thinking it's that people aren't aligned with where the organization is going. And so they build these personal agendas and they build these empires. And all of a sudden you have all this competition, this internal competition, when in reality, it's really a lack of alignment.
Yeah.
And the struggle I have with that is that this toxicity, anything that isn't supporting the effort to be resilient. So said differently, when I think about the need to be resilient, where the rubber meets the road is in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you need to be resilient, there's no time for anything else. So anything that leans toward toxicity or misalignment just takes the focus off the real issue. And it's what I call a derailer of resilience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this notion of alignment has a lot, this whole shared alignment has a lot to do with eliminating the toxicity and also, allowing a team to be able to move forward in a, you know, with one mind, if you will.
Mm. You know, I really just so mesmerized by just listening to the way you're kind of laying this out, because here's why for me, Jennifer, you're touching on all the hot buttons or hot spots that a leader, that most leaders that I work with and talk to and coaching and so on, these are the struggles that they have. But I think you're nailing in and giving us basically where we need to kind of strip everything away and start, you know, for example, creating alignment, looking at our core beliefs, right? Having a firm grasp on reality, our ability to find meaning in our situation, our ability to use resources and improvise. These are things that I believe that as a leader, if they pause, they can probably find those things around them. And really, it's a matter of putting those things into executing on those things you're describing. So your new book, The Resilience, and I love the title. You know, it's not about bouncing back. And you kind of, in a sense, tease us and whet our appetite, so to speak, about what's in that book. But you also mentioned that you have a graphic kind of representation of some things if a person is interested in that, how would they get a chance to see, copy, or see that?
Gosh, it's certainly in the book. So that's okay. Probably the best place to get it is in the book. I think it's also in our blog.
Okay.
So if you log on to our website, is www.leadershiftinsights.com, under the knowledge base is our blog. And we've done a couple of articles about that framework specifically.
Yeah.
So that's another place you can find it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also happy to send you a copy of it if you want to put it in your show notes for people to access. That's, you know, a little free download there, no problem.
That'd be awesome, because I think you really painted that picture so well. I can envision it in my mind as you were talking. I'm thinking, wow. You know, you did a good job in that, but I think having a person now looking at that, oh, okay, now that makes even kind of reinforces what you just described. And are there some things you're actually working on now, Jennifer, that say a leader who's interested in possibly learning more about these things, what's on the horizon for you and Leadership Insights?
Yeah, I think so. Our latest offering actually is coming out. So we certainly have our mastery series workshops, and we do an awful lot of speaking and consulting and executive coaching. But our latest offering literally was rolled out yesterday, and it's the 5-step COVID leadership re-engagement plan.
Ah.
So the idea is 5 short steps that will allow you to re-engage your leadership team as you move forward into this, you know, next, whatever's next for this. So the idea is the first step is all about, you know, like we talked about before, it's all about finding the lessons and figuring out which of these adaptations worked that we made, what might go away in the long term, what might stick around a while, but really getting, capturing the lessons and finding some of the meaning in what's just occurred. The second step is really looking at your strategy and helping to figure out, it's almost inevitable that most companies' strategies will change.
Yeah.
Yeah. You may be able to achieve sort of the core. You're not going to change your basic business, but I'm going to bet that the commitments you made in the beginning of 2020, probably some of those slip. So we want to take a good hard look at the strategy and say, where are we going with that? What adaptations do we need to make? That's an opportunity to create some shared agenda around what's critical. And then step 3 is we look at, well, what are the organizations, the capabilities that are going to be required to drive the critical piece of the strategy for 2020 and the remainder of 2020 or the into 2021. And once we get those capabilities identified, they become another point where we can really align the team around priorities. And then we look at structure and talent and make sure that they're being driven, you know, appropriately so that we can deliver those capabilities as efficiently, as effectively as possible. And the idea is that that just creates this shared agenda that that leadership team is re-engaged around a critical few things. We're able to move forward faster, more effectively, with a little bit more intention, rather than just kind of reacting to what's hitting us. So that's really how we're trying to help and sort of play in this space right now.
Yeah.
But certainly, I mean, a lot of our other programs are going virtual. I mean, like everybody else, we're adapting to this virtual world. So I'm actually doing a corporate restructuring virtually right now, which is a new brand of virtual for me. But, you know, but hey, we're making the best of it. And that's actually going pretty well. So, excited to see what's next.
So you're actually living out what you're preaching. So it's not just, this is not just theories. You're actually doing this right now, adapting based on what you're, as you mentioned earlier, is using the resources and improvising. So you're very in the very middle of doing that yourself. And so it's not just telling people what may work. You have actually done that. And what you described just now for the COVID, is that also on the website at leadershipinsights.com?
It is. There's a free download. If you go to the website, there's literally a header across the top. You can click on it and download it for free. We're trying to give people as many tools as they can to do it themselves. But certainly, we're there to facilitate for you. We're also there to help you strategize and think through, you know, how to make that work in any way we can. So just trying to be as helpful as possible. I think it's the right time for that. We don't normally give free stuff away, but I think this is the right time to really be as helpful as we possibly can, because we all benefit by getting back to work and, you know, being able to move forward safely. And I think safely is the key word there. That's kind of what we're thinking right now.
Good. And I do appreciate that. So we'll have in the notes that follow this episode, we have all that links and what you described there, so people can go and actually click on that and go right to your page. I think there's a great valuable resources that are I think need to be taken advantage of, especially as people are trying to be resilient and as you have kind of shifted our thinking about what resilience looks like. And I love the fact, again, it's really us, you know, embracing where we are, adapting, adjusting, and making, you know, taking advantage of our resources and moving that, right? So I do appreciate that. And we're coming down to the end here, Jennifer. You have given us so much and delivered such great value. And if there was one question I asked you, or one thing that I had touched on that you may want to leave us with, or a parting word, what would that be?
Oh my gosh, that's put me on the spot.
Yes.
No, I think, you know, the biggest thing right now I think that leaders could focus on is really focusing on building resilience and being very intentional about that. So, you know, check out the book. I think it's an easy read. It's got a lot of stories. It's a fun business book to read. But I think it'll be really helpful. And I would, you know, we'd certainly love to have a conversation about it with any of the listeners that, you know, are interested.
Awesome. And the book is available on your website and also on Amazon, or?
Yep.
Okay. And again, the book is Resilience. It's not about bouncing back. And also you can find all this information at leadershipinsights.com, leadershipinsights.com. And Jennifer is Jennifer Eggers, and Eggers is spelled E-G-G-E-R-S. You can also contact her on the social media, LinkedIn, and you can find her, because you want to make sure you're following her and really digging the things she's talking about and sharing. And trust me, you don't want to be left behind. So if you don't want to, join up with her. So Jennifer, thank you so very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us and delivering such great value. We appreciate that here at this community at the Kings of Grand Show. And we say thank you with all of our heart. And we will come and have some Southern fried chicken one day. Authentic fried chicken, nonetheless.
I love it. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure having you. It's been really fun learning about you and your podcast as well. I've enjoyed reading some of the things that you put out, you know, about the toxic workplace and all of that. So this has been a great introduction. So again, thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Thanks. And there you have it, my friend. You have heard our guest today, Jennifer Eggers,
went down the line and shared with us what resilience really mean and how forward thinking it is. I like this kind of framing that she've used to help us understand about resilience and how these are the characteristics of successful leaders who are able to lead or have led their company and themselves through crisis and done it successfully. So I hope you've picked up a few things along the way, and I would love to hear what was most helpful for you. Both Jennifer and myself would love to hear, so you can comment, give us your feedback on social media, especially LinkedIn when this episode is posted. You can visit, of course, Jennifer's website that she shared, Leadership Shift Insights, and get some information from there. Actually, you know, she has a free gift that you've heard her mention. You can go to her website and actually download that and be able to get more of what it is she's sharing. So I want to encourage you to do that today, right? So go to leadershipshiftinsights.com and download that. You'll see the banner as she described on the website right there for you to access that. Okay, so thank you so much for listening, my friend. And now we've come to the end of our show. What we've always done, we're going to do now, and that is to put the show back into the vault. So would you help me do just that? Let's put the show back into the vault. So here we go. There it is. Now that the show is back into the vault, we can now say I can exit the command center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute and say our goodbye. With that said, my friend, peace out, God bless, and I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.